Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to The Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard. We will get to some Australian PGA covers a little bit later on as David Puig leads the way alongside Ricardo Gueva and Anthony Qualey. We put a bow on the 2025 fall season with third-year PGA Tour member Max McGreevy. In case you missed that interview, you can find it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We stay on the guest line. Welcome in our good friend Drew Murdoch. And in case you missed the start of the show, Drew was born and raised in Houston, played college golf for the Houston Cougars, and has been caddying over the last 2 years for Matthew Riedel, also a Houston native who played his college golf at Vandy. And Matthew has worked his way up the Corn Ferry Tour and PGA Tour. Drew's been right there with him the whole way. And Drew's also a superstar writer. He's chronicled his week-to-week journey on social media at Murda on the Bag. Drew, thanks for joining me this morning. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, man. How are you?
Doing well. How are you? Happy to be on. I didn't know I'd be following up Mr. Max McGreevy. What a guy.
How many times did y'all get paired up with McGreevy this year or over the course of the last couple years, Drew?
You know, we haven't actually been paired with Max, but funny enough, they did a mentorship program for PGA Tour U for these guys coming out of school, and Max was Matthew's kind of mentor, so they went back and forth a lot, and I've just kind of gotten to know Max a little bit through those two, and he just does, man.
What do up-and-coming rookies need to be mentored over when they first get their PGA Tour card?
Everything. I think the hardest part for these young guys is mastering Monday through Wednesday. That seems to be a really difficult adjustment because when you're in college, you show up to these tournaments with five other guys, you play one practice round, you go to sleep, you eat a hotel breakfast, and then you go play 36 holes. Whereas when you get out on the PGA Tour, it's so much different. You have to figure out whether you're in the pro-am, whether you can play on Monday or Tuesday, and there's a lot less access than I would have guessed before we started doing this. It's really kind of, you get there Monday, figure everything out, and then you go from there, whereas these older guys who've done it forever kind of know the schedule, they play the golf courses, they know where they're staying, so we're behind on most weeks from the start.
Drew, do you have a tough time, like in college, it seems like you don't really have time to think, you know, you go to class, you go to practice, you go to workouts, you got your tournaments. Do you see any younger guys struggle with the amount of time they have on their hands in the world of professional golf?
I don't know if I've necessarily seen other guys struggle with that, but it is very easy to turn a 3 or 4 hour day into an 8 hour day just with the amount of access and things to do at every golf course. I always joke to Matthew that nobody's better at turning a 4 or 5 hour day into a full day than he is just because you can eat a couple meals out there. You can work out, get treatment on your body, play 18 holes, and then go mess around with equipment, tour trucks, manufacturers. They really have everything out there for you. So it's kind of almost a maze of just like zigzagging back and forth with how you spend your time sometimes.
You know, people talk about the work, friendship, relationship. Obviously, you and Matthew have been friends for a long time. Is that real? Is that something you do have to kind of work through? Or does everything, you know, your relationship, whether you're working for him in the middle of a round versus, you know, maybe just enjoying a meal with him in the afternoon, was that work? Has that been work for you, or do you feel like you're living a dream, Drew?
Both. You know, there are days where it feels like it is work. You know, when you play 5 or 6 tournaments in a row and you miss all those cuts, I can promise you it's not the most fun reality to live through. But at the same time, when you take a step back and look at what you're trying to accomplish and where you are and who you're playing against, it's really cool. And to kind of watch my friend go through that and watch him play at the highest level on the highest stage with everything in the world to play for, it really is amazing. So every person I talk to always says, oh, dude, you have the coolest job in the world. And that's rarely lost on me, but don't get me wrong, when it's a Monday in the Quad Cities and you've just driven 7 hours from Detroit, it does feel a little bit like work sometimes.
We've got Drew Murdoch, PGA Tour caddy, joining us on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Drew, how many events in total did you work this year? How many cities did you go to?
We worked, I think, 25 events, so 25 cities, I guess.
And what constitutes as a successful day as a caddy? Golf, as you know, crazy game, you know, the success rate on a day-to-day basis, based on, I guess, how we evaluate things. I think the majority of time you get off the course and you're thinking, I could have played better. There's always room to improve in this game. So how do you not drive yourself crazy as a caddy? How do you grade a successful day?
I think just being prepared. I know that's not a very sexy answer, but
not.
The days when I'm most frustrated are the days when I feel like I wasn't very helpful for Matthew out there. And there are times where I'll look at him and be like, man, I'm sorry. I'm coming up with all the bad ideas for you right now. I'm trying my hardest, but it's not working. But being prepared, I mean, Monday through Wednesdays are super important for caddies, getting to the golf courses. And that's really where all the work is done. So by the time Thursday comes around, it's just kind of how's he playing and how can I assist him to get comfortable and play as well as he can? Because that's really the main objective, is to just let him play golf, because he knows how to do that pretty well.
Is there any you versus you kind of fighting going on? You know, maybe Drew versus Murda, or however you put it to yourself, when you're trying to figure out whether you should stay silent or, you know, offer your advice in a somewhat high-stakes scenario. Do you ever have that battle with yourself?
Absolutely. That's by far the hardest part of caddying, is not necessarily knowing what to say, but knowing when to say it. Because, I mean, I've played golf at a reasonable level to know that the wrong comment at the wrong time can be super unhelpful. And it's always a constant battle of, am I saying too much? Am I saying too little? How can I help him get comfortable? Because these guys are playing for so much. If I can get Matthew's head out of, you know, this putt might be worth $500,000, then that's probably going to be helpful. But knowing what to say and when to say it are so important. And I think I do a pretty good job of that, just because Matthew and I go so far back and we can kind of talk about whatever we want out there, which is not necessarily always the case.
I don't think I've ever asked you this. Where did you first meet Matthew? Where does this relationship start?
I think it was like 10U baseball in SBMSA. Just nice. Got on the same baseball team, and kind of a friendship grew from there. It was, I think, the Tar Heels baseball team. So Matthew's a pretty good pitcher back in the day.
Yeah, could he throw it a little bit, Drew? Was there a potential future there as far as the MLB? How much baseball did he play?
Not that much. I'm not going to pump his tires too hard, but he was a good Little League baseball pitcher.
Yeah, it's funny how that translates. You know, there's so many great golfers who grew up playing baseball. But Drew, I appreciate you letting us into your relationship and your year, with Matthew and kind of what it takes to be out there week to week inside the ropes. I want to ask you a couple questions about the media. I mean, you do a great job, chronicling life on tour as a caddy on social media, and you also do a wonderful weekly blog on DelCampoGolf.com. I love the weekly dispatches that you're putting out there week to week. And obviously, it's, as we've talked about, it's something that's missing from the world of golf media. When you have kids coming up to you at the RSM, and you're in the middle of your job and But you're also putting on a great product on social media. I know you know that. How did you kind of create and maintain a protective bubble to maybe minimize distractions this year? Is that not even something that's really going through your head?
It's changed a little bit over the last month or two just because my page has gotten a little more popular recently. The first, I'd say 75% of the year, it was more of a passion project of, I made an account just so that my parents and Matthew's parents kind of knew we were alive, just because we don't send them very much content. And it kind of evolved into something that I took seriously. And so I haven't really kind of figured out what I wanted to be with, because it is cool to have people to come up to you and ask for a photo and tell you they love the page. But at the same time, the number one objective is to get Matthew Riedel playing his best golf. And if there's any distractions beyond that, then it kind of needs to be put on the back burner. But right now it's super fun. I mean, it's so cool having random people
and Drew, you don't get the, no one else can provide the kind of insight that a caddy can. And you do a great job staying on the line of, not getting too, I can tell it's not getting in your way day to day, but you're also giving people an insight of what's actually going on. And that's what I meant when, obviously, you've got people walking up to you at tournaments, thanking you. What do you see in the future? Do you feel like a caddy can also be a member of the media?
Man, what a question. I think so. I mean, look, we have such weird hours. That's one of the hardest things about kind of finding something else beyond being a caddy is you're out on the golf course for 7-8 hours a day. So who's going to want to hire somebody like that? But from a logistical standpoint of, do you value the information? I think absolutely. It would basically be like having a coach in the NFL to resort back to ask information about. I mean, caddies are super locked in on almost everything that the guys on tour are. They're just less famous. So I think that would be a pretty interesting idea that you had.
Yeah, I truly believe, based on what I've seen with you and Matthew this year, is there's no better source to ask a player questions, to get some of their thoughts, to watch what they're actually doing, than the caddy. So I think you've hit the nail on the head with something there. I look forward to seeing how that grows. Drew, I have time for a couple more questions for you. I'm interested to hear how your job changed, if at all, moving from Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it didn't change a whole lot. Other than I need to expect a lot more for myself. There is a pretty big difference in the guys out here and the guys on the Korn Ferry Tour caddy-wise. Just, I think the guys on the PGA Tour really take it seriously, like it's a life or death job. And the Korn Ferry Tour can sometimes just be a little bit more fun with some more fill-in caddies. So it took a lot more work Monday through Wednesday of, hey, you know, I'm going up against Ted Scott or Tim Tucker, guys that have been caddying for 25 years with some of the best players in the world. Like, how can I give my guy the best chance to play good golf? And that's just spending more time on the golf course, spending more time with Matthew. And so I would say the job didn't really change, but the expectation of quality work was just elevated a little bit.
Who's a vet caddy that you've learned the most from, that you enjoy spending time around the most and picking their mind?
Man, that was something I was really nervous about coming into it, just because I'm kind
Are you
of
trying to do your own thing, Drew? Are you trying not to get influenced?
Thing, yeah. But a guy named Michael Burns, who caddies for Hayden Springer, was super nice early. We put with him at Torrey Pines, and I remember he gave me his phone number and just said, hey, like, if you ever need anything, call me. And he gave me a much-needed bunker lesson, and he's just been a guy I can always rely on if I ever need anything. So a lot of the older caddies have been super nice, which I really was nervous about, but they've been all pretty good.
Drew, when you were playing golf at the University of Houston, is this something, and I know, you know, you spent time at some clubs in the summertime, went up to Marion, you've caddied at some unbelievable places. For an up-and-comer who is trying to figure out maybe their place in the golf world, maybe they're thinking about caddying, how do I put this? When did it really start to become an interest in something that you really wanted to do?
That's a good question. I still don't know if I want to do it. my advice to people is become friends with a PGA Tour player when they're about 10 years old and ask nothing of that guy until you turn about 24. I just got really lucky. He didn't have anybody coming out of college, and I'd been caddying at Marion over the summer, so he knew I could at least walk and carry a bag without too much trouble. But I don't know. I think more seriously, it's just go try to do it. You know, if you want to become a PGA Tour caddy, start on the Korn Ferry Tour and go from there. You know, I think a lot of people kind of lose faith after one or two things that don't break their way. But if you're dead set on something, just pursue it.
Drew, I've got one more question for you. Who's getting more numbers at tournaments? Are you taking numbers for yourself? And I don't want to get Matthew in trouble here. I know he just got engaged. Saw that via social media. Who's getting handed more numbers at tournaments? Is it Murda or Matthew?
Come on, it's Murda. Matthew's an engaged man. He's locked in on one person. Murda's a free agent.
Wow. We'll wish him well. Murda on the bag. That's Drew Murdoch. Drew, we appreciate the time. I know we could sit around and chat for a couple hours. I look forward to doing more of this in 2026. But we got to cut to break. We appreciate your time, and have a wonderful weekend, my friend. All right, that's Drew Murdoch, PGA Tour caddy. We'll look forward to keeping track on him in 2026, as well as Matthew Riedel, who he's on the bag for, and we'll keep an eye on as far as great players coming out of the Houston area. We got to go to break. The show's over, actually. Great to hear from Max McGreevy. Great to hear from Drew Murdoch. We'll talk to you next Saturday here on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor.
ESPN 97.5.